Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco high atop the Tower of Hope at beautiful Christ Cathedral. And what a day we have. This is absolutely unbelievable. It's like a dream come true to me. Two of my absolute favorite people, Mike Manhart, who is the founder of One Strong Family, Forget About Me, I Love You, a street evangelist, someone who, to me, is a role model of what a Catholic's all about, and Alob, who is one of the recording artists that is so on fire with the Lord and is here to tell us about young adults. And he travels all over the United States talking about Jesus, and his whole life is one transformation through the Holy Spirit. Alob, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me be here.
And give us your official Christian name.
And my name's Andrew Laubacher, but most people call me Alob.
Andrew Laubacher, and tell us about the significance of the name.
Well, Alob actually started a freshman year on my basketball team, and no one could say my last name, and they just started calling me Alob.
I love that. I love that.
Yep.
I love that. That's so on fire. Tell us about you, about how Jesus Christ came to you, because it just wasn't like one day you woke up and you know, I mean, you're living your life, you're doing the things that a teenager would do or a young adult would do, but my guess is all of a sudden you found that something was missing and you had this transformation. Tell us about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I grew up going to church, I grew up going to Mass. It was just a part of my family life, which was great, and I went to a private school to eighth grade, and then high school, decided to go to a public high school. And I just found myself in the wrong group of friends, and freshman year already started to go into the party scene, the drugs, the smoking. But I knew in my heart that that stuff was wrong, but I desperately wanted to fit in. I mean, I really cared what people thought about me, and I really wanted to be cool. And so, you know, in high school, that's the stuff you have to do to fit in. It's not cool to be like Christian and like love God, you know? So I started to do those things here and there, and I was at confirmation at the same time. I was going to retreats, going to conferences, but just really living that double life and just convinced that my joy was dependent on what other people thought of me and if I was at the right place at the right time at the right party. And pretty much as high school proceeded, I just became more and more secular in my way of thinking. I didn't really see any people that were really living out their faith, that were young and cool, and that I wanted to hang out with. So by senior year, I was atheist. I didn't believe in God at all. I was really convinced that the Catholic Church was brainwashing people. I was angry. I was mad. I didn't like my body. I didn't like myself, and turned to the drugs and the parties and the music. I've, you know, been playing music since I was 11, and I really thought that that was where I was going to be happy. And that life just left me really empty. I had anxiety growing up in my life, and that really made me question, like, God, why are you allowing me to suffer like this? I had bad panic attack anxiety, and I just believed that there can't be a good God in the midst of this. And so senior year, I graduated and was just going to go to community college, study music theory, and I had a moment where I was going to a party and got caught by the cops. I'm sitting in the back of a cop car, and in that moment, I'm like, I know this is not the life I want to live. I didn't think of anything about God. I ended up having to go to court. All this stuff happened. I was depressed. I was lonely. I left the party scene, and I got invited to go to a Steubenville youth conference, and in adoration, in worship, the preaching, everything was just hitting my heart. And in that weekend, I gave my life to Jesus, and it just shifted the course of my life.
And how many years ago was that?
That's coming up on 8 years.
8 years. Okay. And you're how old now?
I'm 26. This happened when I was 18.
My brothers and sisters, John 10:10 says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. I have come to give you life. Life means being filled with the Holy Spirit. Life means being on fire. Mm. Jesus told us that I came to set the earth ablaze, as it says in the Gospel of Luke. I wish it was already ablaze. Alob is telling a story that so many people can say, I can relate to this. Falling away, actually never even being part of the Lord, but getting into the world. And that's something that I know my brothers and sisters, many of you listening in can say, I can relate to that. Mike Manhart, you are my hero. And I say that from the bottom of my heart, because both of us have this incredible zeal to serve the Lord and to make a difference. Tell us about the relationship between you and the Lord and how you came to be such an evangelist, and also how you and Andrew or Alob came together.
Very interesting. First off, you're going to make me cry, brother. You're my hero, too.
Woo-hoo!
God bless.
Woo-hoo!
It's a love fest. It's always a love fest. My life growing up was very different than Andrew's, Alob's, in the sense that I was reared Catholic. I did not know, and I do not know at 52 years old now, what it's like to not have Jesus Christ as the very center of my life. So I feel extremely grateful. I do not take that for granted. I used to, but I've learned that you cannot take that for granted. So the common denominator that the two of us have, my experience came a little bit earlier in 1991 when I graduated from the Franciscan University of Steubenville, but the same with Alob. He graduated from Franciscan University. That's where I did know him when he was in high school. But that's where, you know, this common denominator came together, and I realized this young man has an incredible zeal for evangelization, specifically for young adults, but he's got a gift of music. And it's very rare these days in our Catholic Church when you could identify and find someone who, with this caliber of gift and talent at the musical level that he's at, and those gifts needed to be shared. So about 3.5 years ago, we prayed and got together, and I run a company with my business partner called Anaheim Studios, and we just got together with Alob and said, let's support him. Let's build him a website. Let's try to get him out there and help produce an album, you know, just give him a presence in the Catholic world. And through Steubenville Connections, that's really how he's been able to blossom. It's kind of like the snowball effect. But that's the common denominator. But it's his zeal for evangelization, specifically for young adults, because he's only 26 years old. He's been doing this now since he's 18, 19, with a lot of passion. And that's what we need in our church right now, especially those of us who are called to evangelize. And Catholics, listen up. We're all called to evangelize. Yep. By our baptism, you are called to evangelize. By your confirmation, you are called to evangelize. We need to be fearless in that evangelization.
We need to be fearless, and we're going to hear more about that whole fearless area and how you guys are doing a movie, I believe, right, in that area. As we look at Psalm 37, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, that you may dwell in the land and live secure. Find your delight in the Lord, who will give you your heart's desire. My brothers and sisters, this is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're talking about really living a life of abundance. And this is going to be geared towards young adults, but it's geared towards everybody. Everyone has to say yes to Jesus. What are you waiting for? Say yes to Jesus, totally and completely. One of my absolute favorite Beatitudes is Matthew 5:6, is the fourth Beatitude on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, we're going to talk about young adults right now because it is a passion for me. I know you are a young adult, obviously, Alob. But the bottom line is that I see this event mentality with young adults. And I don't want to put a big, you know, everyone the same, because there's so many young adults are on fire like you. But everyone, whether it be young adult or older, we all need to give our lives to Jesus. But I am frustrated, though, about the lack of commitment that I see at times and how they want to live two lives. Yeah. You know, they're living with people, you know, there's sexual immorality, there's drugs, there's alcohol, there's, I don't want to get into it. And I'm not judging, because I have a log in my eye. I'm not judging the speck in their eyes.
Right.
But the most important thing is, how can we get young adults in the Catholic Church on fire?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. I mean, our world is doing a really good job at evangelizing atheism. They're doing a really good job. Mm. And we really need to step up our game in every place in media. That's why I love what's happening right now on the show, in the music world, in the speaking world. And we're very much, young adults are very much attuned to, I think, all the new ideologies, all the new philosophies out there. I mean, we're being bombarded with the most radical ideologies of all time. Everywhere, on our Snapchats, on our Instagrams, on our Facebooks, we're being told so many different ideas. And we need to be able to not just lead with doctrine, because I think a lot of times people are like, oh, let's just start with, you know, the doctrine of the Trinity and see how that works, you know. But I think young adults are desperately longing for community, and I think that's where it needs to start, because the disciples belonged before they believed. So the disciples belonged before they believed. Sometimes I feel like with young adults, we're trying to just get them to events and tell them about certain topics and hope that it sticks. But really what they're longing for is community. That's why they're going to the parties. That's why the colleges are just being, you know, just extreme amounts of sexual immorality. We're desperately longing for intimacy. On our social media world, we are the most connected yet the most lonely generation that's ever existed. Mm. So I feel like the answer is in community. It's in discipleship. And yes, it's in events. I love events. I do them for a living. But I think there's more. I think there's more to life than just good events. I think people need to just have a meal together, right? Jesus just chilled with people. He hung out with people a lot, you know, and for us to just be present to them and be like, hey, I'm not going to go out and rage tonight downtown, or I'm just going to, like, let's just go watch a movie and have fun and be joyful. And so I think the bottom line is it's just starting with community.
We're going to be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, Empowered by the Spirit, to talk more about community and young adults. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope, beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And we're with two of my all-time favorite peoples, Alob, who is a young adult, you know, someone who is so on fire with the Lord and so on fire with his music, and Mike Manhart, that is the founder of One Strong Family, evangelist, Forget About Me, I Love You. We're talking about young adults on this show, and you know the title of this show is Young Adults on Fire. Young Adults on Fire, because that's exactly what we need to be. And we were talking about community and intimacy and really important words that are so critical. And I had mentioned earlier about how Jesus wants us to be on that road to Emmaus and to be totally and completely on fire. And he said, you know, and this is, get out your Bibles on Luke 12:49. I've come to set the earth on fire and how I wish it were already blazing. Yeah. And that's what we want for all of us.
Amen.
But we've got to build it with these young adults that are going to take over, you know, the church. And as we think about this, let's take a look at the early church, because I believe the model is still the same.
Yes.
And 100%. And this is Acts 2. Verse 46 and 47, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together, community, in the temple area, to breaking bread, communion, in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation, praise and worship, and sincerity of heart, praising God, enjoying favor with all the people. And then what happened? Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I don't think that formula is any different today. Mm. Coming together.
Yeah.
With the sacraments, with praise and worship, with scripture, and making it happen. But what happens, I guess where I'm struggling right now, I'm just, you know, lighting it up, as we say. I do see great events, and I love the fact you and I have been part of a similar event at LA Convention Center. I love events, but if you go back and continue to live a sinful life where you're, you know, you're living in fornication, pornography, sexual sin, you know, striving for the almighty dollar at all costs, whatever, then, you know, it just doesn't stick. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was talking to a Norbertine priest recently, and we were just talking about how in my generation, there's no saints ever before that's experienced this type of temptation because of the phone, because of pornography, because of all of these different media outlets. I mean, we are being bombarded in so many different aspects. And I think it's true. I think we complicate evangelization a lot. It's really simple. Love. Love is the answer. But that's, you know, now that's just this nebulous term, like, oh, just love, you know, just love each other, man. You know, and it's like, okay, well, where is that found? Who talked about love in a radically different way than everybody else? It's the person of Christ. And a lot of young adults are, I feel like a lot of times they're hung up on these Catholic issues of, you know, birth control or abortion or homosexuality, because these are these big topics right now. But when you get back to the core of the message, it's love. And if we just preach the gospel of love and the joy of the gospel, I think people are going to be attracted to that. Mother Teresa talked about that, right? That joy is the net in which we could catch souls. I mean, when you see joyful young adults, man, there's something attractive about that. I know for me, that's what just really engaged me in my faith. I was like, whoa, dude, you could be like cool and normal, but love God and be on fire. And I think if you're in a community of people where that's happening more than just an event, maybe it's Bible studies, maybe it's meals together. I don't know what that looks like, but we need to do something. And I think it's gotten to that point where something needs to happen.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're here at beautiful Christ Cathedral with A-Lob and Mike Manhart. We're talking about being on fire as a young adult, which is certainly translated to all of us, but we're focusing on young adults. You know, media, you know, A-Lob said something very important in the sense that the vehicle has changed, but we're wired to be the same, Mike, in the sense that we need intimacy.
Yeah.
We need Jesus. We need love. We need community. And bringing that together through media, which is a big part of what you do in your vocation, is something very important. How we communicate with young adults. Your thoughts on that?
Very, very important. You know, the millennials today, all they are tied into are smartphones because they grew up with tablets. You know, this has been their lives. They don't even watch television. Like, we need to meet them where they're at. So digital communication is an absolute key. And we're looking to do that as often as possible, to be able to find ways to evangelize and bring the gospel message of Jesus Christ, not just on radio, not just on air in different ways, but through digital communications. It's where they're at, and that's important. Evangelistically, you know, we need to arm ourselves and be very strategic and be very smart in how we as Catholics reach anybody. Okay. When I'm in the streets working with homeless people, there's a strategy about it. Okay. Because the ultimate goal is to live out Matthew 25. Okay. To live mercy, and to live the corporal works, but we want to bring people to Jesus. So we need to find a strategy. With young adults, it's got to be through music, it's got to be through beauty of the arts, it's got to be meeting them where they're at, and digital is a very important way to do that.
And on our next segment, you're going to be blessed tremendously by a song from A-Lob, No Match for Love, because music is so important, communication, smartphones, and so forth. I'm just curious, Mike, have you always been this on fire? Was this something that was like a switch on you? Were you on this on fire at Steubenville in high school or whatever, or was there a given time when something changed?
I think I was 7 when it changed.
Seriously?
Yeah. My dad and my mom came in to my room, and they said, you might not understand exactly what we want to tell you and what we want to do with you right now, but we were just baptized in the Holy Spirit.
And, really?
Yeah. And I looked at them like, okay, cool, mom and dad, you know. And they said, and we want to pray with you and your sisters for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, how awesome. So are they still living?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
May I meet them? You know, I'd love to. Seriously. I would love to shake their hands.
Oh, praise God. That's such an honor.
Where are they located?
They are in New Jersey.
Oh, that's right. You're from
the
East Coast.
Yeah, the Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore. Well, I used to live in Princeton, you know.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that.
So, any case, they came in, and then what?
Laid hands on me and prayed for me for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at 7 years old, I rested in the Spirit. And that's why I've always known that it's very real. Because a lot of people look at the charisms of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people run away, by the term charismatic renewal. And that drives me crazy because it's just the vernacular. If we take a moment to look at what charismatic renewal actually means. It's the renewal of the charisms that we receive at our baptism and that confirmation. What's so scary about that?
To be priest, prophet, and king.
Amen.
You've brought that up twice, and it's so important. My brothers and sisters, you were baptized with sacred chrism to be a priest, to be an evangelist, prophet, to be part of God's kingdom. We are here, you know, the Baltimore Catechism had it right to love him, to know him, and to serve him, and that's what we're called to do.
In this world, so we could be forever happy with him.
Amen. Boy, you got that down perfectly. Amen.
No, but that's a good point, and honestly, this leads, and this is honestly like my favorite topic is Holy Spirit, but this leads to everything I think about young adults, because young adults now are turning to more, quote, spiritual things than ever before. And when they see Christians walking in power like they did in the New Testament in the early church, where Paul would be walking down the street and a fortune teller would freak out because they saw the power that he was walking in. Peter's shadow healed people. You know, Paul gave people a piece of cloth, you know, and they were healed. And I think when young adults begin to see the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and people operating in them, they will be the greatest renewal in young adults ever before. I guarantee it, because we are so desperately longing for the supernatural, and Christians need to start showing up with the power, right? Because the gospel is not in talk, but in power.
Amen. And you just quoted 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Yes, you did. I did.
Paul told us that our gospel is not a gospel of talk, but of power. And I feel like I'm in a combination of Disneyland and Christmas here with you two. I mean, this is just...
I like Christmas more than Disneyland.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's true. It's so funny. I just gave six homilies at a local parish here, promoting a life in the spirit seminars.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And, check us out at spiritfulhearts.org. Because in the month of June alone, there are 5 Life in the Spirit seminars, and this may be aired after that, but we're going to try and air this maybe sooner than later. But in any case, check us out, and we'll come to your parish, and that's to make the Holy Spirit come alive in you, to release the Holy Spirit in you. I have to tell you this story. This is so important, and we'll go to break, and right back after break, we're going to hear from Alob, No Match for Love. But a little girl, 8 years old, comes up to me. I give this story a lot, but it's so powerful and so important. I had prayed over them, ages 5 to 12, and this Labor Day weekend, give a shout out to SCRC in Anaheim Convention Center in California. And every Saturday in this of Labor Day weekend and this upcoming Labor Day working, God willing, will be the same, I pray over all these children, maybe up to 150 of them. And so on Sunday, this little girl comes running up to me with her mother, and she looks at me, and her eyes were really big. She said, "Did I receive the Holy Spirit at baptism?" Wow, pretty cool. And then get a load of this. This says it all. Her eyes dilated, and she said, "So why is he hiding?"
Whoa.
Does that not say it all? My brothers and sisters,
yeah, that's good.
We have to say, enkindle in me the fire of your love. Enkindle in me the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13 says, "We who are wicked, who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit when we ask for it?"
Yes, amen.
You must ask for it. We're going to be right back after break to talk more about the power of the Holy Spirit with all of us, with young adults. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. And come right back, as you're going to be hearing from Alob's beautiful song, No Match for Love. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on the air here and powered by the Spirit with Alob and Mike Manhart. We're talking about young adult fire, being on fire, and that's for every one of us, but certainly young adults. And again, this story about releasing the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, we have to give permission for the Holy Spirit to be released. We have to want it. We have to desire it. We have to seek it with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. That's why Jesus said, we must love him with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. Why does Jesus say that we have to pray without ceasing? Paul says pray without ceasing. Why is that? Because we have to be in love without ceasing. God is love. And when we love him and want to do his will, then that's what it's all about. And Alob, the no match for love has got to be a big part about loving Jesus with all of our heart.
Yeah, I mean, this song kind of originated from that point in The Prodigal Son where he's eating with the pigs and he's ready to go home. He's tired of living for himself and just that image of going home to the Father and just that embrace. Because when you think about it, Jesus could have given any other story about the Father. I mean, a lot of people in the world today think the story goes like this. The prodigal son went home, the father took out a whip and started, you know, whipping him and was angry and never talked to him again. I mean, that's what I think some people think of the father, but Jesus gave us the most radically different image of a father that loved him, that gave him a ring and a robe and a party and hugged him and ran to him and was looking for him. And that's what that's a story of the prodigal son, and we're all part of it. Doesn't matter how much we've sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The prodigal son is for us. It doesn't matter how crazy your past was or if it was good or bad, but you are the prodigal son. And so this song is just an anthem, I think, to the reality that God's love and mercy is bigger than our messiness.
Awesome. Let's hear the song.
Great.
No Match for Love.
I can see the light breaking through the clouds. Didn't know there's hope, but it's here somehow. I live the life of me. I'm tired of what I see. Handing it over, I give you everything. I wanna live for something more. Got these scars on my skin. My past is forgiven. Let the healing begin. I see you run. Arms open wide. I see you run. Ringing the road. My messiness is no match for love. Oh, your love. Sent your only son to die for us. Forgiven, Father, all of my sin. All of my sin is no match for love. I'm so afraid. What is Father gonna say? Will he turn his back or will we embrace? I just need hope, so I'm going home. Grace is waiting, grace is waiting. I see you run, arms open wide. I see you run. My messiness is no match for love. Oh, your love. You sent your only son to die for us. Forgiven, Father, all my sin. All my sin is no match for love. See you run, ringing
this is no match for love. Oh, your love. You sent your only son to die for us. Forgiven Father, all my sin, all my sin. It's no match for love.
Woohoo! Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Wow. That is so powerful. Tell us, tell the listening audience how they can get this song.
Well, this album will be releasing sometime in August, but if you go to www.nomatchforlove.com, you can check out the whole project. You can pray, you can donate, help support. I'm fundraising for this album. So if you go to www.nomatchforlove.com, you can check out the whole thing.
And tell us more about your ministry, and first give us your website and all the information for our listening audience.
Yeah, so my website is www.a-lob.com, a-lob.com. And yeah, essentially I started playing music when I was 18 after my conversion and started leading worship at my local parish. That's when Mike and I met, and then I ended up going to Franciscan University, studying theology and philosophy, and leading a lot of worship there on campus, and then started playing the Steubenville Youth Conferences with Bob Rice and his band, and that kind of launched me into starting to do this full-time, and people just started calling me to go places, and I started going and started to pray with people, and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was at Franciscan, and it was a radical intoxication like I've never experienced. And that moment really shifted, I think, the course of my life and ministry, because I realized that, wow, the gifts are for us, and we're called to use them. And evangelization is a lot easier when you use them. You know, I've had some moments where I've tried to talk with people about theology and philosophy and arguments for the existence of God, and it doesn't really go anywhere. But if I get a word of knowledge for their back or for their family member that just passed away, and I tell them, they listen. And so my ministry is mostly worship and speaking to teens and young adults. The message that I try and preach is one of healing and of love and just the truth. I love apologetics, but just the truth that Jesus is who he says he is.
Well, that is so incredibly exciting. How can people schedule you and really get connected with you, Ayla?
Yeah, so if you just go to the contact section on my website, you will contact Mike Manhart, and he will be the guy that connects everything, the event, me, to you, and that's kind of the process.
Mike, tell us about when you met Alob, and what was the Holy Spirit telling you, and why is Alob so important as it relates to what you're trying to do in your ministry?
Well, I'll humble him for a second, because cool is something that he talked about earlier, you know, that young people are just so concerned about what people think about them. Well, when I saw Alob and when I heard Alob sing, the first thing that I thought of was, this kid is cool, okay? He's kind of got the whole package, okay? And I'm looking at this as I was a youth minister for 12 years full-time in the Catholic Church. So I would always seek out the cool kids and work on evangelizing them, bringing them to the Lord, because, again, I'm all about strategy, because if the cool kids are serving Christ, others are going to see that and they're going to go, wait a minute. That's the quarterback in the football team. You know, wait a minute. She's the head cheerleader. Why are they going to church? Like, that's not what's supposed to happen. So when I saw Alob singing, okay, and giving his all, man, I was like, I want to get in touch with that kid. And I'm very, very close with his then youth minister, Karen Reynolds. We're tight, so I kind of like strategize with her.
What parish did you guys meet at?
Our Lady of the Assumption in Ventura.
In Ventura. Oh, awesome. Awesome. The world needs both of you. The world needs the Holy Spirit. The world needs people on fire with the Lord. What's the vision that you have? Let's focus again on young adults. What's the vision on how we can reach young adults? What do we need to do? This show is on a number of stations throughout much of the United States with two different radio networks. Tell us what people in listening right now, what they need to do.
Yeah, I think young adults want more than just youth ministry 2.0. So we're longing for something of depth and of knowledge and of truth. And I think it starts with creating some environment, some type of ministry that is involving young adults to meet regularly for Bible studies, just for a meal, to go do something fun together and worship and pray together. I think it's the all-encompassing reality of the human person. We need the spiritual, we need the physical, and we need an environment to allow both of those to nourish young adults, because we are searching right now. The search is on, right? The search is on. So if we can find a place, a ministry, an organization, something to really bring in every type of person, even the person that doesn't even believe all the things of the Catholic Church, get them into an environment where people are praying, breaking bread, where the sacraments are available, where there's just cool people hanging out, eating a meal together. That's what I think, people just coming together and creating a loving environment that is not judgmental. We are so concerned with being judged. If we can invite people into a place that there's no judgment, I think the masses will come to hang out with us.
Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
No condemnation. This is not about judging one another, and this is about saying yes to how you're made. Mm. You're wired so that you need to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, might, and strength.
Yeah.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with A-Lob and Mike Manhart, and we've been talking about young adults on fire. And believe it or not, I was a young adult once. Can you believe that? I don't know.
Pretty incredible.
Wow. Oh, don't you love radio? You can't see me, right? But the bottom line,
so young.
At 28 years of age, my story was I was a sales manager in pharmaceuticals. Guy shows up with a little Holy Spirit pin. Mm. And I said, I knew he was Catholic, and he was kind of in the world. And I said, what are you doing? Catholics don't wear Holy Spirit pins. He says, I found Jesus. I said, what do you mean you found Jesus? You go to church every Sunday, you hear the gospel and blah, blah, blah. He said, no, I never knew Jesus. I found Jesus through Calvary Chapel in this particular case. Mm. I came home and I thought about it and I prayed about it, because he was in Bakersfield, and I drove all the way home to Orange County. And I thought, if you followed me around, could you convict me of being a Christian outside of being on Sunday or a couple special events and what I said, what I thought, what I did? And the answer is, I'm not so sure. And so I came home, I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, Lord, I give you my life. I went in the living room, and there was this big, thick book with pictures on it and dust. What was it? The Bible. Mm-hmm. And it was something that had never been opened, and all of a sudden the words started leaping off the page. Mm-hmm. Of how much God loved me, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor creatures. And how much he loved me, that he created me to have every spiritual blessing. But there was that personal decision, A-Lob, that I made at 28 as a young adult. And it's not been straight up. I mean, there's been crashes and burning.
Yep.
But that started the course. My personal opinion is that we really need to have that decision to say, okay, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think people, especially young adults, we're looking for evidence. We're really looking for evidence. And if we have, quote, enough evidence, I think we'll commit. And I think that's the logical fallacy of my generation, is that we need hard evidence. We need 100% certainty to enter into this, or else we're not in. That is a very scary place to live, because the reality of it is that if you live in that place of needing evidence, needing 100% certainty of everything that's said in the Bible, everything the church teaches, blah, 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 you will never come to a place to commit, because there's always going to be questions. My commitment that I made when I was 18 was the same thing. I committed, and man, I started watching debates for hours between Christians and atheists, and reading every book I could, and searching and searching, and man, there were some major crashes and burning in the last 8 years of me following Jesus. But that initial commitment it's just stuck with me, and I don't know how else to describe it, but that one commitment Jesus has honored. And literally, I feel like, showing me so much mercy through all my mistakes and sins in the midst of that commitment. But I remember speaking to a PhD neuroscience, a friend of mine, his dad's a PhD neuroscience, and he was agnostic, and he was just saying, you can never be certain about anything. And I was like, are you certain about that statement? Are you certain that you can never be certain about anything? And, the whole philosophy is just flawed, but I was just telling him, I was like, man, do you really, is that a full life to live in uncertainty always? I think we were made to be certain about something, even in the midst of questions. So here's my cry for young adults. Yes, you have questions, commit anyway. Amen. Just because you don't have the full story, because we'll never have the full story on this side of heaven. I think it's I think there is enough evidence, empirically, philosophically, theologically, to make a commitment to Christ that is so worth it. Oh my gosh, the last 8 years of following Jesus has been the craziest adventure ever. If you want to go on the craziest adventure of your life, follow Jesus. I don't have all the answers. I have a lot of questions still, but I'm still convicted that this is truth, and that commitment, it needs to happen. It needs to happen.
Amen, 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 amen.
I'm getting pumped up right now.
Yeah, yes. I'm all fired up here. And when we ask, as it says in James 1, ask and without doubting, and this is verse 6, but you should ask in faith, not doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed about by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he has received anything from the Lord, since he is a man of two minds, unstable in all his ways. Mike, we have to say yes to Jesus and mean it.
Amen.
And yes, we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And I am huge in reconciliation because mm-hmm. the closer I get to the Lord, the more I realize I'm a sinner.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But the point is, there needs to be that decision that's made to say, yes, Lord Jesus, you are Lord.
Yes.
See, even the demons, my brothers and sisters, even the demons know that Jesus is the Son of God. Even the demons know who Jesus is, but Jesus is not the Lord of their life. That is the decision. You must make Jesus Lord.
Amen. Alob alluded earlier to the fact that so many people in today's society, especially young adults and these millennials, you know, are all about the spiritual. You know, if you ask them, like, hey, are you a Christian? Well, I'm real spiritual.
Yeah, I don't like religion, but I'm spiritual.
I'm spiritual, you know? Well, I love when they say that to me because I like to have the next statement out of my mouth that says, if you want to experience the deepest spiritual that is possible in humanity on this earth, okay, in this galaxy, okay, in this universe, guess what the word Catholic means? Universal. Guess what?
Yeah.
We have the fullness of truth that subsists within Catholicism. But guess what? There is nothing more spiritual than what the Catholic Christian Church has to offer.
Yeah, look at the mystics.
Oh, my goodness. We can go on and on. Amen. We could have 10 shows just on the spiritual.
Amen, amen. And my brothers and sisters, you've tried it your way.
Yeah.
How's it working out for you?
Right.
It didn't work out for me.
It didn't work out for me, and it doesn't work out. You know, in Ignatian spirituality, St. Ignatius of Loyola said that we are either moving towards God, which is called consolation, or moving away from God, which is called desolation. The point is, psychologists say that we make up to 2,000 decisions every single day.
Wow.
When you're making those decisions, are you moving towards God or away from God? I think, Alob, what I see, and it's not just young adults, but I certainly see it in young adults in a big way, they want to have it all.
Yeah.
They want to have the world. They want to live in sin in terms of, you know, not get married, you know, have the sex, do whatever, and then still go to church and be on fire. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I think we're really overthinking a lot of things as young adults. I mean, we are, I think, by far the most interested in so many different topics and ideas. And people want to travel and people want to explore and do all these cool videos and go to the best festivals. I mean, we are desperately searching. We are desperately searching. And my thing is this, like, St. Catherine had like one of the greatest revelations, I think, and it's four words. And this is what God said to her. I'm God, you're not. I think the most difficult thing young adults are experiencing, and I just think humans, is that moment of surrender, because commitment take surrender. It is really hard to be like, all right, I think I'm wrong. Like, honestly, the greatest gift of my life, and C.S. Lewis is on my side in this, he's like, I'm so happy I was wrong. I mean, I'm so happy I was wrong. And yes, people are living in sin, and there's a lot of people don't get the church right now. It's the most misunderstood institution. I was just taking an Uber the other day, and the guy next to me was talking about Jesus, and he was convinced that the Catholic Church is like the beast of Satan. You know, and I'm talking to him, and it's, you know, we are just being bombarded with so many different ideas, but I think the most difficult thing to do is to submit. It's to be like, you're God, and I'm not.
We see this, my brothers and sisters, in Philippians 2, where Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The point is, we must humble ourselves.
Yeah.
We must be obedient. We must make a stand. Take a stand.
Yeah, we don't want to be obedient. I think in your 20s and your 18, you know, in your 18, you don't want to be obedient to anybody. You just want to go and rage and party and do whatever you want, you know. And I think that moment where you realize, like, wow, maybe there's something more to this life. I mean, the atheistic outlook is so depressing.
30 seconds. Give a message to young adults in our listening audience, Alob, on what God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to you right now.
Yeah, I think the two words that just came to mind, which we've kind of talked about, is love and adventure. If you want that hole in your heart, that restless spirit to be satisfied, you want to follow Jesus. You want to encounter the love. If you want to experience the miracles, I mean, man, I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. I've seen healings. I've seen disease leave. If you want the most exciting adventure ever, follow Jesus. And yes, that is not all the time. There's plenty of quote, boring moments, but enter into the boringness because it's even fun with Jesus. And if you want to have a fulfilled life, live it for others and live it for God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And if you can live that out, I believe that you will be fulfilled in this life and the next.
It's so wonderful to have you on the show, Alob and Mike. You guys are amazing. We're going to have you back on another show.
That'd be great.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, worship you, and glorify you. We know that there are many miracles and healings that have occurred as a result of the words on this show. Spiritual healing. Physical, mental, emotional healing.
Yes, Lord.
Many, many miracles. And we praise you for those miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the transformation of a new Pentecost, through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In Jesus' name we pray. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
Thanks, Deacon Steve.
Thanks, Deacon.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.